Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been an exciting, exciting week. We had storms early in the week. Sunday and Monday, the sky got dark. And, you know, we were hoping for something really dramatic because when the storms come up and there's hope of tornadoes, people sit on their porch and they watch it come in, even with all the warnings. When they hear warnings on the radio, then they go out onto the lawn and see it see it come in. Because they remember that tremendous tornado of 1985, which came in, and it embedded grass in a mirror and embedded it in the glass over the picture of our Lord that was hanging on the wall of the Scheindeckers' bedroom, and they didn't know what to do with it. But a woman came to visit, and she was suffering from the hiccups, and she looked at that picture, and she touched that picture, and it cured her hiccups. And that night, Mrs. Scheindecker had a dream in which an angel named Ralph came to visit her and told her that the end of the world was near and that she should pray constantly and that this picture should be used for good. Well, this was before the internet, but hundreds of people suffering from hiccups came. There were lines of people on the gravel road outside the Scheindecker's farm. The bishop came in his black Lincoln, and he said, no. He said, this is not considered an official miracle, so you need to put that away. Well, the angel Ralph told me, she said, are you sure you don't mean Raphael? No, Ralph. Ralph was the name of this angel, and he looked a lot like my brother-in-law. And the bishop took the picture of our Lord with the grass embedded in the glass, and he took it back to the chancery. And he was driving down a road the next day, and bales of alfalfa fell off a truck and hit his car, and he was so shocked, he started to hiccup, and he had terrible hiccups for almost a day, and then they were cured, and he never would admit what it was, but everybody knew anyway. No, it was a beautiful storm. It was also the storm that carried away Mrs. Hoagland's Jell-O mold. It was a lime Jell-O mold, and she was taking it off to a church picnic, which was being held a couple miles away at the Hansons' farm, and they ran in to get cover when they saw the tornado coming, and it picked up this Jell-O mold, and it carried it 25 miles away, undamaged. It set it down in a plowed field, and it did not move a single mandarin orange that was on it. All the walnuts were there. The Cool Whip was untouched. Well, it was a miracle for sure, and people 25 miles away returned the Jell-O mold to Mrs. Hoagland, because of course she'd put your name and phone number on the bottom of a Jell-O mold, and they brought it back. Well, what to do with this object that had been miraculously preserved? They couldn't eat it, of course, and that would be sacrilegious. And so they buried it in the backyard, and right there, over that ring where the mold was buried, dandelions arose, dandelions that when you made them into wine, they had a powerful, calming effect. And you saw visions. Maybe not visions you'd care to share with the bishop, but nonetheless, so we were hoping for storms. The church picnic was held this year because of the storms. It was held in the basement of Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, and there was way too much food, as there always is, salads and desserts and hot dishes as well. It was just a tidal wave of food. Pastor Liz came in, and she led them in singing the table grace, and then she went around, because she has to, and she went around with a plate, and she gave gave herself a little bit of everything, so made a huge pile, and she was sort of poking at it for a while, and people were watching to see what she ate and what she liked and so forth, and then she excused herself, and she went around a corner, and she went into the kitchen, and when she came back, the plate was empty. It was sort of the reverse of the miracle of the loaves and fishes. It was miracle of removal, of the removal of food. There were about 16 college graduates who came to the church supper in the church basement, and they came hungry, of course. They come back from college, and they're different from the rest of us. They've become idealists, and we are still materialists, and they try not to show disdain for us, but of course they feel it, and who can blame them? But they came to eat, and they tore into that food. But even 16 college kids could not make a big dent in it. There was so much there, and the chocolate cake was heavily damaged, and anything with sausage in it was eaten. But the eggplant parmesan with the feta cheese was not a big hit, and the zucchini and spinach lasagna did not really go any place this year. Dwayne Tollerud went fishing with a bunch of his buddies last weekend, and they all got very, very drunk. Men in their late 50s, they ought to know better, but they got very drunk out there in bright sunlight fishing for walleyes. And he sat in the boat with his three buddies, and he had to pee so bad, so bad. And then he realized that he had already peed. It just had happened. Sort of discouraging to a man, but you know, he was very drunk, and you don't really know how drunk you are if you drink whiskey until you stand up. And he stood up in order to tell them that he had peed and that he was terribly sorry. And a little gust of wind, and there was a wake from another boat, and the boat rocked a little bit, and he fell off into the water and clung to the boat, and they hoisted him back up, and now he was completely wet and did not need to explain or apologize. It was a large experience for him because he realized in the course of it that he doesn't like fishing. He's been fishing now for 40 years, most of it with the same people, and he doesn't really enjoy it. He's spent a great deal of his life doing something that he thought he should enjoy but did not, and realized that what he really enjoys is work. He enjoys farming. He enjoys cattle, pigs, chickens. He enjoys gardening. He enjoys running his tractor. So, good to find that out. Eventually, you may not have thought it was going to be true, and then it turns out to be. Memorial Day, a big day. It was a big day for me when I was that age. They used to have balloon rides in Lake Wobegon on Memorial Day, and you could pay 50 cents to get into a basket, and this enormous helium balloon on a tether would rise up into the air 400, 500, 600 feet, and you would sit up there and get this view of your town that you never had imagined before. People did it. There was always a big line, except this one summer, there was a storm coming in, and nobody was in line except me. I was alone. I had the 50 cents in my pocket. I didn't know anything about storms. They asked me if I wanted to go up. I said yes. They said, "Are you all alone?" I said yes, because nobody wanted to go with me because I got car sick so easily. So they put this big white duster on me, this big white coat, and I got into the basket, and they let me up into the air, way up, and you could see all of it. You could see Krebsbach Chev and Bunsen Ford, and you could see the lumber yard out there and the Wally Old Hard Hands Bunsen Memorial Park, and you could see the lake and our school up there on the hill. And then I looked down, and the balloon guy had left. Evidently, he had something urgent to do, and he had asked a few guys to look after the tether while he was gone, and they were guys I knew from high school. And a little bit of a wind came up from the storm, which was gathering off to the northeast, and whether it was the wind or whether it was the guys on the ground, I don't know, but suddenly the balloon was free, and it rose up into the air. It was terrifying, and it was also ecstatic, both at the same time. Ecstasy and terror, the combination of which is where religion begins. And it was enormous to drift away from town, and off I went to the southwest, and I went over Uncle Jim's farm and over Joe and Jerry's farm and Lawrence and Franny's farm and Harold Hunt's farm and Rosalind and Cora, and all of them drifting I was about around 1,000 feet. I was rising. They were getting smaller down there, and people were waving at me who could not recognize me, and I called out to them, and they didn't recognize my voice. There was a storm, and now I was up in some low clouds, and there were geese who were flying by. It was a large experience. I never went in for drugs afterward because I'd already been through that, you know? Drifting through the air, looking down at the countryside, I was drifting and drifting along, and then I looked up and I saw this little nozzle on the side of the balloon, and that's where you would let gas out, and I knew I had to climb up there. I would have to climb up the rigging to get to it, and I never was good at the rope climb in gym class, but it simply had to be done, and so I climbed up, my heart pounding, and I opened the valve, and the cap came off, and suddenly this blast of helium came at me. But I had the cap in my hand, and so I managed to push it back on and just loosen it a little, and we drifted down. We landed at Aunt Eva's farm. She was terrified seeing this balloon coming down. She thought it was the second coming. She thought I was an angel up there with my white duster. But I came down and I stepped out of the basket, and she threw her arms around me. People kept asking me, what was that like? I've never been able to describe it. Never, ever able to describe it. I was very quiet after that, and sort of strange. I was a loner, and I never made eye contact with people after that, as I still don't, as you can see. And I got a reputation for being strange, and found that I did not mind being thought to be strange, which is the first step to becoming a writer, is to enjoy being peculiar. Well, that's the news from Lake Wobegon. All the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.